There's so much to remember.
School is so hard.
How do people make it through this?
What did that professor say?
I want to be a nurse. I want to be a good nurse.
Glomerular filtration rate.
Pediatrics. Geriatrics.
But what's going to be
heart rate,
tie
Fowlers, low Fowlers. Some say that nursing school is the hardest thing that they've ever done. I'm Dr. Hobick, and I am a passionate nurse and a passionate nurse educator, and I'm here to help. Join me on Nursing with Dr. Hobick as I review topics and highlights from nursing school and try to help nursing students become confident nurses and provide the safest, best quality patient care that's possible.
Hey, and welcome to Nursing with Dr. Hobick. I'm thinking about Guillain-Barré. That is a condition that is named after two French doctors, and I apologize to anyone who speaks French who hears my pronunciation. I am not super great at pronouncing French. I really need to practice, but hopefully you'll forgive me. This is a syndrome we don't really understand well, and it involves peripheral and cranial nerves. What usually happens is a patient gets a viral infection, either a respiratory or a GI infection. So think influenza virus or some other type of virus. And about 1 to 4 weeks after that, they start to have neurological deficits. These neurological deficits typically follow a pattern. It usually starts in the patient's legs and progresses to the upper extremities, the trunk, and the face. And this is paresthesia. They might have tingling and numbness. They may have some paralysis, maybe ocular, facial, oral pharyngeal muscles. This is going to make it really hard for them to talk or chew or swallow. Your priority for this patient is to monitor their respiratory status, because if those respiratory muscles get affected, this patient can go into respiratory failure. So we need to constantly monitor them for respiratory failure. Most patients, about 70%, will have a full recovery within several months to a year after the onset of symptoms. Around 30% are left with a residual disability, and about 5% unfortunately pass away. So what are you looking for when you're watching for that respiratory failure? You're watching for breathlessness while they're talking, shallow or irregular breathing, use of accessory muscles, any change in their respiratory pattern. Make sure that whoever is measuring respirations is actually measuring them. I can't say how many times I've gone in and seen a patient who had 16 respirations the entire time they've been someplace, and only to find out it was actually in the 30s. So make sure that you talk with whoever you delegate that to, that make sure that they are really checking those respirations. I try to harp on that with my students, with my face-to-face students, because respirations is something that will change really quickly. So if something is going on with the body, you'll see a change in those respirations much earlier than you would think. So keeping an eye on them is really important. Any paradoxical inward movement of the upper abdominal wall while in the supine position that indicates weakness or impending paralysis of the diaphragm. So we want to make sure that we are watching for those things. Any changes in pulse rate or rhythm, they may have some transient hypertension or orthostatic hypotension, could have some pain in their back, in the calves of their legs, and weakness or paralysis of the intercostal and diaphragm muscles can develop quickly. So again, we are keeping a very close eye on these patients. We want to monitor for that respiratory distress and initiate mechanical ventilation if it's going to be needed. That's the quick rundown on Guillain-Barré, and I hope that you enjoyed this short episode. Join me again next time on Nursing with Dr. Hobick.
Hey, this is Dr. Hobick. First, I want to say thank you for listening. This podcast is intended for nursing students to help them understand concepts that they're learning in nursing school, and maybe for students who just graduated and want to refresh on concepts, or nurses who just want to listen. Anyway, I do want to thank you for listening, but I also want to say that by listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others, including but not limited to patients that you are treating. I want to encourage you to consult with your own physician for any issues you may be having. They will be your best source of information that is accurate and consistent and based on research and evidence. Again, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time on Nursing with Dr. Hobick.